Hey everyone, this is Coach Nolan, and I want to welcome you back for another podcast episode of Donut Kicker coverage and our sponsor, thekickerzone.com. We are the only 100% podcast series in the world dedicated solely to the high school athletes and their parents and their guardians to deal with everything good and bad in college sports recruiting, especially post-COVID, and what the NCAA is doing and the lawsuits we see almost daily. But more importantly, we want to offer some solutions for you. So who am I and why should you listen? Well, I've been dealing with the NCAA since I signed my national letter of intent back in 1973. Yes, I am an old fart. And I've helped over 4,000 high school athletes and their parents in obtaining over $200 million in athletic scholarships across every major college division in the sports of baseball and football and basketball, soccer, track and field, lacrosse, wrestling, and others. My goal for each podcast is to let you, the listeners, know that the task of becoming a next-level student-athlete, and yes, your parents, is not an easy one. And the NCAA is becoming more and more less friendly to the high school athletes, and especially post-COVID. Heck, I even came out of retirement to not only start this podcast, but also wrote an international best-selling number one book called College Athletic Scholarships, the Path to Recruiting Success in the New Age of NIL, the Transfer Portal, and Post-COVID Scholarships. We have many special guests on, to include former players I've coached who made it to the next level and the professional ranks, to leading doctors and experts in the field of nutrition and physical fitness, along with parents of athletes who'll be sharing their journeys of playing in college and beyond, as well as college-level coaches and other industry experts around the biggest hurdles a high school athlete will be facing trying to get into college and play the sport that they love. I hope you'll subscribe, like, and comment on our podcast because this really is dedicated to you and your dreams. So thanks for joining. So let's kick this podcast off. Today, we are excited to have our guest, Mr. Tucker Richardson, a former D1 basketball player and now playing professionally over in Europe, to not only share his story, but what he is doing now to help athletes. Tucker, good afternoon, and welcome to Please Don't Outkick Your Coverage.com. How are you doing today, young man?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me, Mark. That was a super energetic opening, so I'm excited to get this conversation going for sure.
Well, I'm on my second pot of coffee, so, you know, I do about do about six cups a day. And by the way, it's half caffeine, so I'm really out there. Nice. So Tucker, you know, with the audience we have, you know, as you heard my opening, I really do love talking to guys like yourself and others who have really dedicated themselves not only to the sport they love that they grew up in and all the adversities they went through from early on days of maybe getting on the best team and not getting on the best team, getting picked the second team, you know, all those kind of things, to now playing over in Europe, which is a dream of yours, and maybe someday coming back here and playing in the NBA. Who knows? Or maybe being a coach, who knows? So, you know, what I want to do is I want to first ask you a couple of questions. You know, why did you start on this journey of wanting to help young athletes out? And what are you most proud of from this journey?
Well, I guess that's the big question. I mean, I would say that my basketball journey was very unique. And like you said, a lot of people go through ups and downs. I played for really good teams. I played for really bad teams. I had opportunities. I didn't have opportunities. So there was a lot of kind of twists and turns on my basketball journey. And I feel like through that, I learned so much and I built so many relationships and connections with, you know, different kinds of coaches, different programs, all those things. And now, of course, I've kind of made it, you could say. I'm playing basketball professionally. But when I look back, you know, if a couple things didn't go my way, there's a chance I never played Division I basketball. There's a chance I'm not playing in Finland right now. And so I feel like, you know, because I had some luck, I would say, on my journey, I feel like it's necessary for me to give back to younger kids who are going through some of the same challenges and same things that I went through. You know, I feel like I have this wealth of knowledge and information and experience, and I don't want to just sit with it. I kind of want to put it out there and kids can do with it what they want, but I want them to be able to learn from me, basically learn from my journey. So that's kind of where it came from, is like, I feel like I do have this experience and this wealth of knowledge that, And I just like interacting with younger players, and I want to help them in any way I can.
Good. Thank you for that. And, you know, for those who don't know your story, you know, could you just give us a small background of what that journey was really about and to help our audience understand just how difficult it is, especially from the D1 player playing basketball today in college?
Yeah. So, I played basketball for as long as I can remember. My mom was an honorable mention All-American basketball player in high school. So she was a really good player. And my dad did some coaching throughout the years. He was also a teacher. So he, you know, did some coaching on the side. So kind of grew up in a basketball family, but it was never forced on me. It was just something that I kind of immediately went towards and had a passion for. And so just to make a long story short, I went to a public school in high school for 4 years. Had a really good career there in terms of, you know, what the school had done in the past. We had some of the most winning seasons in the school's history. And I felt like I was a really high level player at the time. I got really lucky my junior year of high school, actually. I'm sure you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but, you know, AAU is a big thing, for young basketball players. You know, it's a big step. There's a lot of positives and negatives to it, but I was lucky to get on a really high level AAU team my junior year, actually. One of the guys, Naz Reid, is playing in the NBA right now. He could potentially be sixth man of the year. We'll see. I hope so. A couple other guys who are playing in the G League or playing in other places professionally. So a really high level team. I was really lucky to get on that team. And because of that situation, I started to get a little bit more exposure and found some interest from some schools, particularly Colgate, who actually saw me play. This is crazy because Colgate's a school in upstate New York, and they were at a tournament in Las Vegas and saw me play. So that's just one of those kind of chance situations that happened throughout my career. But so going into my senior year of high school, I kind of had some interest from some Ivy League and Patriot League schools. Obviously, Colgate was one that was really on me, but wasn't really sure. Like, it wasn't really sure if I was the right, you know, good enough, I guess, or whatever, to play at that Division I level. And so after my senior year of high school, not having any actual offers yet, I decided to do a postgraduate year of high school. So I did a fifth year at Blair Academy in New Jersey, which is a really high level prep school. Mm-hmm. And once I decided to do that fifth year, Colgate kind of pulled the trigger and decided to offer me for, you know, the year after my fifth year. And so
basically
I did that.
It was like a gray shirt. Right. Kind of like
exactly. Kind of like that. Basically, it's like, you know, you're going to have one more year to develop and be in a better situation playing against higher level players, because my public school, we didn't, you know, the competition just wasn't even close to what it was when I was at Blair. So they said, you know, you get that extra year, we want you. And so going into my fifth year at Blair, I committed to Colgate, and the rest is kind of history. I had a really good career there. We did a lot of winning, played in the NCAA tournament four times. But basically, like, there are just a couple things along my journey where if something hadn't gone the right way, if I wasn't at that tournament in Vegas, if I hadn't gotten on that AAU team, which is kind of another crazy story that I can tell, you know, things might not have turned out how they did. So
right. Good. I mean, that great answer. You know, one of the things we all talk about is, you know, the harder I work at something, the luckier I get. You know, and I think that's true in life in general. And I know that, you know, you talk about your parents and their role and, you know, and how important, I'll touch upon that in a couple of questions later on, but, you know, we know as athletes, the challenges, both on the mental and the physical side of the sports. And can you share some of your thoughts, with us on how you go through the mental and physical side, even today, as you continue to play at the professional level in Finland?
It's so interesting because I obviously started this YouTube channel where I'm kind of sharing a lot of information with younger players from my experiences. And, you know, the biggest thing I would say I struggled with in high school was confidence in basketball. I was a really skilled player. I trained so hard. I had all this potential, you could say. But, you know, confidence in my mentality a lot of times was the thing that was holding me back. And it's funny hearing all these comments and questions from younger players now. It's like, it seems like the biggest thing that they struggle with too is confidence and mentality and all this stuff. And I was just talking to my dad today, actually. I really feel like, you know, I'm 24 now, I'm playing my first year professionally, and I feel like I finally really unlocked my like confidence and mindset. I was obviously much better in college than in high school, but it's just like such a slow process. It takes a long time to develop those things. So in terms of the mental side of the game, it's been so big in my journey. Like in some parts of my life, maybe holding me back. And then as I've gotten older, it's been, you know, one of the things that's really propelled me. So I feel like the mental game, my mom, it's so funny. My mom for years has always tried to get me to understand the mental game, and I've always kind of pushed back. And then now I can finally, you know, I can finally tell her she's been right this whole time. Of course, as they always are.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. I had a podcast guest on a couple weeks ago. His name was Joe Platt, and he was a track and field guy. We were talking about our kids. You know, our son was an All-American football player. And, you know, one of the things he finally said to me was, you know, I guess he was 17 or 18 and he became a first-team All-American. I had no idea what I was doing. I was stupid. I'm an idiot. You know, it doesn't matter. Right. I went to Notre Dame. Right. And then I said to him one day, man, he was about 24, 25. He called me on the phone one day and says, Dad, you know what? I finally realized something. You and mom are amazing. I mean, I'm like, hey, so there's still hope, you know? So just like you, right? The switch all of a sudden turned like, you know what? Maybe all those years my mom and dad said things to me, it's finally clicking that yes, because you're going to be one of those dads you know, when you have your kids, right?
And hopefully I'm sure my kid's going to push back on it just like I did. So
oh, absolutely. What are you going to do, right? It's like that whole continuation of life. So, you know, what's your favorite part of your job playing? It is a job in Finland, right? I mean, what's your favorite part of job playing there? And then maybe the least favorite part of the job. I'm sure your mom and dad don't fly over back and forth every game from Finland. They might, I don't know. But and what would you tell young athletes about how to deal with those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part, I try and tell myself this every day is like, you know, even if it's sometimes tough and kind of grueling to be a professional athlete, at the end of the day, I get paid. I do make money. I get paid to play basketball. I get paid to do the thing that I absolutely love. Even outside of playing the game, I just love everything about the sport of basketball. So my favorite thing is that I get to, you know, go to work and play basketball. I think that's pretty cool. And then I would say the hardest thing is yeah, like kind of like you said, I don't get to see my parents that often, but just in general, being away from home. I've been over here since August now, and obviously haven't got a chance to go home. So just missing friends and missing family. I think being in your mid-20s, there's a lot going on with people back home. So that's also what makes it a little bit more difficult. But at the end of the day, like there's obviously going to be sacrifices on this journey. And Finland has treated me really well. I've had a great time here. I've met so many great friends, people that I'll have in my life forever. So I'm so thankful for that. But yeah, it's tough. I would say I'm talking to a couple of my friends who are about to graduate from Colgate who want to keep playing professionally. And yeah, I was just honest with them. I'm like, you know, it sounds on paper like it's all fun and games, which for the most part it is. But there are a lot of parts of, you know, living on your own in a foreign country that are difficult, that aren't that easy. So just trying to help them as they start their process. I've had a lot of older players that have played professionally for years that have helped me as well get prepared. So that's been really nice too.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. You know, coming from New Jersey, moving down here to the South, it's kind of like a foreign country, you know. Yes. kidding, of course. Don't give me a hard time, but I did grow I did grow up in South Jersey. So, you know, a little bit closer, Cape May Courthouse. So what is the one idea that experts in your field say that you disagree with, maybe in the mental training and strength conditioning side, and how do you look at this situation and its effects on athletes?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I feel like I have. I feel like I sort of push back on some of those like traditional or old school beliefs with basketball, but I would say a couple that came to my mind right away. There's this common thought in basketball that you tell kids to be unselfish. That's like this big thing in basketball. It's like, be unselfish.
Right.
I'm sure you've heard this.
Yes.
And I've tried to push back on that just a little bit. I think that, you know, selfish and unselfish are probably the wrong words to use, but I feel like kids should be a little bit more selfish, or I wish I had been a little bit more selfish. I guess, you know, I don't want to use that because obviously it has a really bad connotation, but in terms of, you know, when you're going on your basketball journey, you kind of have to look out for yourself. And in some ways, you have to. Basketball is a sport where you got to put up numbers and you got to perform on the court to get noticed and to go to the next level. And so my argument is that, you know, I always felt like, I feel like part of the reason I wasn't aggressive or confident enough in high school was because I felt like people would think that I was a selfish player if I like took too many shots.
Right.
But really looking back on it, like I was clearly the best player on my team, clearly worked the hardest, clearly had the best opportunity to play at the next level. I deserve to take more shots. And not only that, but being more aggressive and being more assertive on the court actually would help my team. That's what I've come to realize too. It's like I was the best player. So if I had been more aggressive, I would have helped my team more. So that's like a mentality shift that I try and get young players to start to think about. You know, of course, ultimately, it starts with the work. Like you have to put in the work to, you know, even get the chance to be more selfish or more aggressive.
Right.
But if you are that player, you know, if you are the guy in your team, you have to, I feel like you owe it to yourself and your teammates to shift your mentality a little bit. And that's really helped me. I feel like since I've gotten over here, my aggressiveness, my kind of attacking mentality, my assertiveness on the court has gotten a lot better. And it's made me such a better basketball player. And then the other quick one I'll just say is like this other one that everybody says is don't think. That's a common thing in basketball is like, don't think, just play, like just react or whatever. And to some extent, I agree with that. I understand it. But I think that in a lot of ways, basketball is a thinking game and is you are processing things throughout the game and can pick up on things. And also you can think ahead of time. Something that I've gotten into this year really is like the visualization aspects of basketball, playing through games and possessions in my head before I even get on the court can really help athletes. I'm sure, you know, can really help
Yes.
athletes as they get on the field, the court, whatever it might be. So I think actually thinking more sometimes can be really good. Obviously in the moment in split second decision-making, you're not going to be able to think, you don't have time, but, if you can think a little bit more in the lulls throughout a game or even before a game, I think that can be also really helpful to young athletes.
Okay, thanks. Is there one specific thing, the mental part of the game that you really wean in on or lean in on every week? You're like, okay, when I come out to the basketball court, I know there's this one thing I'm going to do every time mentally to get myself prepared. Is there one thing that shines out every day that you think about?
Yeah, I mean, I would say before games for sure is like visualization. I've tried to get a lot more consistent with that. Like I said, for me, it's more about I've gotten so much better at like moving on from play to play. I used to care so much about like makes and misses, and I'll talk a little bit more about this as we go on. But I've become so much more in my life, but specifically in basketball, about being a process over results person. So not worrying about makes or misses, but worrying about, am I putting in the work first of all to give myself the opportunity to make shots, and just like, does my shot feel good? Am I taking the right shots? Am I being aggressive with my shot, or am I overthinking? Like all those things. Not worrying so much about the results of a game, even I would say like a win or a loss. I think it's really can be tough for teams in the moment, but I love something my coach says, one of our assistant coaches says over here is, you know, if you're down by like 10 points in a basketball game, let's say, it's like human nature to start to get tight and be like, oh, we need to get it all back. We need to get back in this game. But really, the only thing you can do is go possession by possession by possession by possession. And so that's really helped me. I've really gotten so much better at that, like just worrying about, you know, basically being where my feet are. There are so many ways you could say it, but just really being in the moment, worrying about the next shot and then the one after that and then the one after that. So that's really helped me as I've gotten older and just matured as a person.
Good. So it's almost like a growth standpoint as well, right? You know, the mental game you had when you were 15, 16, you know, now that you're 26, clearly the mental side has changed, you know, from being the selfish player, if you will, whether that's good or bad or connotation at 15 or 16 in AAU and trying to get to the scholarships, you know, that's what that was all about back then, to now at the mental side of being 26 is, okay, how do I prepare not just for the game, but for my teammates and the shot? And again, playing in a new country, that's a little bit different probably than you're dealing with. that may have made some adjustments and probably helped you out to where you are now. Get that brain going, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think like it's so funny to think back at the player I was in high school.
Right.
If I missed, like there were times where if I missed a shot or made a bad play, I would be like out of it for minutes or even like a whole half, because I would just be overthinking or I would be so mad or frustrated. Even in my workouts, like I used to be a demon in my workouts. Like if I missed a couple shots, I would start to like get so pissy. And now it's just so funny. Like I that definitely comes with maturity. But now I'm just like, what am I talking about? Individual plays do not matter at all. Like whatsoever. They do not matter. You don't remember them. They don't have any like meaning. What matters is, you know, years of work, of putting in work, trying to get to, you know, a result one day. And so that's really helped me. And in life, I would say, just in general, not just basketball.
Okay. So, you know, if you had the attention of the whole youth athletic sports world for 5 minutes, you know, what would you say to them? And in, you know, my experiences, I've only been doing this 49 years coaching, you know, this is a global question for all athletes and their parents who are playing sports, regardless of the sport. So what would it be? What would that one thing you would say to them?
Yeah, I think especially, I mean, as you know, because basketball now more than ever is becoming this business, and there's so much money involved and so much pressure on these kids. Like I want to kind of get back, especially for younger players, to just like playing out of a love for the game, or playing because you're passionate about it, and not worrying so much about like, am I going to play Division One or am I going to get NIL money or whatever it might be, whatever is the case. I try to stress this so much to younger players, is like, stop worrying about the end result, because especially if you're like a 15-year-old or 16, just worry about getting better every day and enjoying play. Like the reason that I became really good at basketball is because I loved basketball, is because I wanted to do it. I wanted to work every day at it. It wasn't because I felt like I like had to play D1 or I was going to be a bust if I didn't. Mm. And I don't know. I think part of that was because I was kind of naive, maybe. I just didn't really, you know, I didn't really think about it that much. I wasn't thinking about college, or maybe I didn't think I was even good enough to play in college to begin with. So I was like, whatever, I'm just going to work really hard and see how it goes. And that actually, I think, is a really good mentality to have, is like work really hard at something you love and see where it ends up. You might not end up at the college level, but you worked really hard at something and you developed a passion and you proved to yourself that you can work really hard at something. So for all sports, it's not just basketball. I think young players need to keep finding like the love and keep that love and passion for the game and not worry so much about the end results. I think even when it comes to like wins and losses, when you're young, they don't matter. They really don't matter, but we put so much emphasis on it, and that really can like start to stress young players out, I feel like.
Yeah, no, so. I interviewed, I don't know if you caught the podcast. I had a guy named Joe Colavito on. His daughter was an awesome, and Joe growing up was an awesome basketball player. Although he was like 5'4", you know, he just had a workout mentality. And he talks about his workout mentality and work ethic and stuff like that. But when he took over being a dad to both his kids, one of the things that we talk about from the parent side is that he thought he was doing everything so right for his parents. And then one day at the University of Notre Dame, his daughter decided to take her own life. Wanted to commit suicide. And he talked about it in our podcast. And he had end up being a great lacrosse player, ended up going to Liberty, and her younger sister went there. So how much of that, when I say a global question, I'm sure in Finland, the parents may be different over there. I know when I got my Dutch KNVB license, soccer license, we brought a guy over to help us teach that. And he just talked about the differences between, you know, the American parents' way of life and, you know, the people over in other countries, especially in what you may have to deal with. So it may be different over there with parents. They may have a different focus on the game.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a better understanding of like that process over results mindset that I was talking about here. I would say the biggest reason is like, what's happening in America is kids are specializing in sports at such a young age and playing year round from such a young age that it leads to injuries, I think, is a big thing. But it also leads to burnout. Like, I think kids just get burnt out. And here it's much more common to play more sports, to not play basketball in the summer. Like, even some of the professional players over here, they take a lot of the summer off and they just don't play, and they just get a mental reset from it almost. And the other big thing is, like, they don't have an AAU system here. They have basically, you can start. So my club team is called BC Nokia. That's my professional team. But that club team goes all the way down to like 10, 9, 10, 11 year olds that start playing within the club. And the difference is they have practices all week, and then they have like one game a week. So they're much more worried about developing kids and the process of getting better in practices. And then they play like one game, get prepared for that one game. Whereas AAU, you play four, five, six games in 2 days, and you know, the injuries, the everything. So I would say, yeah, there's I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, I'm assuming there's probably less burnout here because it's not just like this, like every single day of the year, you have to be playing basketball to get to the next level. It's more, I don't know. I just think the structure is maybe a little bit better here in terms of that. And I did, I saw some stat that, like suicide is now the leading cause of death with college athletes or something like that. I saw that recently, and that, yeah, that completely shocked me. And I feel like it's definitely, I think people are talking about it more, but it still obviously needs to be, you know, fixed.
Yeah. And you know, that's a great point, because I think, you know, when I grew up, I know you probably don't know who Ozzie and Harriet is, but you know, there was a TV show, and your mom and dad and other people my age would know who Ozzie and Harriet were. I mean, they were the Nelsons. I mean, you know, my mom and dad were World War II people. So my dad fought at Guadalcanal in Iwo Jima. So he was just grateful to be back home, and we had seven kids. He's like, dude, I'm not coming to your game. I got more important things to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a standpoint of having a, you know, she had like one gigantic billboard anywhere on the face of the earth, you know, metaphorically speaking, and getting a message out to the millions or even billions of folks out there, what would it say and why?
Again, I feel like I keep saying it, but for me, it's worry about the process and not the end. And I think that just like me, that works with any sport and anything in life is, if, for instance, like, so I started this YouTube channel over here, and it's been doing really well, but as I was going about that, I obviously listened to a lot of advice given from really successful YouTubers. I would, you know, listen to all these compilation videos of successful YouTubers giving advice. And it was like, it seemed like the number one piece of advice, like it almost seemed like almost every single one of the successful YouTubers said this, was do not start making YouTube videos because you want to get like famous or make a lot of money. Start making YouTube videos because you love making YouTube videos and you want to make content. And I just think that is the exact right mentality to have with anything. Like, start doing something or a sport, whatever it might be, because you have a passion for it, not because it's cool to have goals. I think goals are great, obviously, but if you start putting pressure on yourself, like, for instance, like if you have a parent that puts a ton of pressure on you, like you have to put, I think that, you know, LeBron James' son is a great example. I kind of feel bad for him because LeBron's saying, you know, Bronny, his son, could play in the NBA right now. He's good. And I see guys in the league and Bronny's better than them. And then he goes out and has a really brutal freshman season. Yeah. Didn't have a good year at all. And I think maybe he seems like a good player, good kid, but I think part of that maybe is because of those expectations. So again, that's like, you know, that's obviously an extreme version of it. But start, you know, be that process over results person and player in whatever sports. I think that would be the message I'm trying to get across to kids.
Good. Sure. You know, yeah. And the reason why I pretty much pose those questions in that area is, you know, Willie Stargell, you may not know who he is. He was a first baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. And they asked him one day on an interview, you know, why did you always have a smile to your face when you came up to bat, you know, in front of the umpire? He goes, because you know what? The umpire always yelled, play ball. He never said work ball. And to your point, you know, the NCAA did a study probably, I went about 12 or 14 years ago, where they interviewed a bunch of 12 and 13 or 14 year old kids. And they said, hey, what's your number one sport? And they said, well, the number one sport is this. And then there was a tremendous tail off of the second sport they really enjoyed. And they said, well, why is there such a tremendous drop off? And they said, because that becomes work. I'm not being able to play the sport I enjoy. Now my mom and dad are telling me I got to play 3, 4, 5 different sports and I got to be all over the place, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the youth sports industry, Tucker, as you know, it's a $20 billion a year industry. I just put something on Twitter this morning about, I think the main reason why religious activities and churches aren't going on every weekend is because kids are playing too much sports. They're at this sports complex, this mega sport complex for the U5 national championship in rodeo or something, yeah. Right? So that's to your point, is let them enjoy playing the game before it becomes work ball.
And not only that, but like for parents, I mean, I started playing AAU basketball in fifth grade, which is absurd to go back and think about. That's a lot of money. Like you have to pay a lot of money for your kid to be playing at that elite level in fifth grade when you have no idea what your kid's going to turn out
correct,
to be.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
I think it's kind of crazy. Yeah, for sure.
And you know, I'm interviewing one of the guys I used to train who was at a UGA kicker, Marshall Morgan. We're going to talk about a 529 plan. Why a 529 plan is so much better to have early on as a kid, because now, and the parents, because now they can build that D1 or bus mentality where they're trying to get that $17,000 scholarship to play at Big U University. I'm like, well, dude, if you got a 529 plan, you could be a walk-on on the team, you know, and you're like, always parents are like, oh my God, Mark, that is such brilliant. I'm like, I don't think so, but you know, yeah. So he's going to be on the talk about that.
Changing that mentality from D1 or bus to like there are so many other opportunities to play at the next level. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just got done doing a thing on basketball, which I'll send to you. I mean, D1 is 1%, D2 is 1%, D3 is 1.4%. So, you know, it's a 3.5 overall, right? So, and that's just the men's side. So, you know, but now we saw Caitlin Clark do what she did this past year for women's basketball. I am sure right now, every little girl that's 5, 6, or 7 years old for Christmas and probably over this summer is going to be picking up a basketball. Again, not a bad thing. Yeah. We had it with soccer, with women's soccer back in the 90s, right? The explosion of that. And the same thing with Masters Tournament. You got Scottie Scheffler, who won at 27, another $1 million. And I'm sure the mom and dads are going to Dick's Sporting Goods right now. Not that they're a sponsor of mine. Or Wilson, who is a sponsor of mine, you know, buying the $1,000 clubs, right? So, you know, are there any quotes that you think about often or live your life by, or even having your role to help inspire the athletes that you're working with and talking to on your YouTube channel that you've come in contact along your journey?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'm also glad you sent that one ahead of time so I could get a couple quotes. But there's one that I do bring up pretty often. It's from Alex Hormozy. I don't know if you've
heard. Oh, yeah. I love Alex. Yes.
Yeah. So he says, there's no greater waste of time than justifying your actions to people who have a life that you don't want. And I think that this is so interesting for me. Like when I was in high school, I was like someone who cared a lot what people thought. And I think a lot of younger people in general just do this. You have these kind of insecurities, or you want to fit in, or you want to, you know, be normal or whatever it might be. And I'm glad that at some point, I don't know when it was in high school, but at some point I did start to realize like, it's okay if I'm not like everybody else. Like I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be that weird kid that misses stuff because he's playing basketball. And that was fine to me. And so I try to tell kids, like, stop worrying about what other people think, especially other people that don't have the same goals and don't have the same passions that you do. Like, just go out and do you. Go out and work really hard at this thing because you love it. So I think that is a great one. I think he has so many great quotes. And then Kobe is like my favorite athlete. I think he just, obviously he's known for his mentality, but I think he has great one-liners. He always talks about his philosophy that failure doesn't exist. So his whole thing is that it's impossible to fail because, you know, let's say he loses a finals, you know, loses in the finals or has a bad game. To him, that's always an opportunity to learn, and that's always an opportunity to get better. And so therefore, if he learns from it and gets better from it, then it's not failure. And I love that mentality because obviously every athlete is going to have struggles in their life, and they're going to have bad games, bad moments, even maybe bad months or seasons. But if you can learn from it, if it helps you in the long run, then you can't see it as a failure. So I love that. I think, you know, Kobe just has a million of those kind of quotes and moments. But yeah, those are two that really speak to me.
Okay. All right. And I think, you know, as we touch base on going back and forth on, you know, the players itself and then the parents itself and the players and the parents, you know, that's the theme that I always try to do on my podcast is, you know, trying to get the parents to understand that it's important for them not to be in the front seat and turning around in the back seat, always lambasting their child for that one goal they missed. Although they made three or four goals, right? Hey, and they're going over every shot, every rebound, everything they did right or wrong. And I think that's part of the burnout problem that you talked about, probably having very supportive parents. And I'm sure once or twice, because none of us are perfect parents, but once or twice your mom or dad probably said, you know, you really should have done this. And then knowing you, if like my son, he would give me that look. He would go like, Dad, really? So,
I was just listening to a Kobe interview today. And he had said that when he was like 10 or 11 years old, he wasn't very good at basketball. And he said he went a whole summer. He was on this team and he went the whole summer without scoring a single point. And he had a conversation with his dad after the summer. And he thought his dad was going to, you know, say, you should give up, you should stop playing basketball, whatever it might be. But his dad said, he said, basically, I don't care whether you score 0 points or 60 points or whatever. Like, I'm always going to care about you. I'm always going to love you. So he had that support from his dad. And he said, because of that, he was no longer afraid to fail. Like, so his parents, was saying his dad was like one of the catalysts for him having so much improvement because he stopped being afraid to fail. And he was like, all right, I'm just going to go for it then. If there's nothing to be afraid of, I'm just going to go for it. So yeah, I completely agree. Parents are so, so, so important along the journey, of course.
Well, that's a great, you know, that's a great segue because, you know, one of the things that we do talk about with parents is oftentimes there are parents and there's no right or wrong answer, but you know, sometimes there are parents that live through their children. You know, sometimes there's that parent that said, gee, you know, I could have been a D1 athlete if I didn't do this. And I always ask them, well, what's the focus on the D1? Why is it, why do you focus on that? Why don't you just focus on, I call it next level. So I have never talked about D1 capability or D1 or bust mentality, but you know, I do have parents sometimes that just come up with that D1 mentality often. And I think that sometimes drives some of the kids to be negative. You know, there was a study done many years ago with children, and they said by the time a child is 3.5 years old, they hear the word no and oh, 250,000 times. They're like, no, don't do that. Don't touch that. No, don't put your hand on the stove. Those are great things, right? And I turned around and said, I think you should just say no, K-N-O-W. Just say no what your child really wants to do. You know, buying $400 pair of sneakers, you know, for a kid that probably has no interest in playing basketball, but the dad thinks he does, you know, it just, you got to say no. Like, I'm sure your mom and dad are like, okay, we think we know what Tucker wants to do, and we're going to let him drive that boat. Yeah. And I think that was probably their advice to you because your mom being all American, she was like, okay, I know what it took for me to get to this level. Tucker's going to have to figure some of that out. I'll support him wherever I am needed, as well as your dad being a teacher. But ultimately, it's you making that K-N-O-W decision of what do I need to know to get to that next level?
And I'll also add that, you know, especially a sport like basketball has evolved so much that, you know, when my mom was playing basketball, the game is completely different. It's a completely different beast to attack. So for obviously, you know, my parents did an incredible job of supporting me. But if it was a parent that was telling their kids, you got to do it this way, this way, this way, well, maybe that's actually wrong. Maybe they don't know, you know, there, it could be a completely different, different way. And I got to figure that out basically. And I think, you know, parents are so important because obviously when kids are young, they have to be able to drive them places, provide resources, obviously all those things. But at the end of the day, like they got to be the supporters, while also nudging, I would say like nudging in the right direction, mm-hmm. giving them, you know, pushing them a bit. Like for instance, my parents, I think one of the most important parts of my childhood was, I didn't really like play video games. I didn't really have access to that. My parents were just kind of like, we're not, that's something that you're not going to do. And I just never really got into it. And I really think that, you know, some of my best friends growing up would go home from school, play video games for 5 hours and go to bed and get up. And I didn't do that. So I had to, you know, fill my time doing other things, you know, predominantly playing basketball. Right. So parents are, you know, it's a give and take. They gotta do some stuff, but also right. let the athlete kind of figure it out on their own as well.
Right. So is there an unusual habit or absurd thing that you love about what you do and that helps you drive daily? Like, you know, for me, it was always the same pair of socks, you know. For other people, it's, you know, how they touch something. Another one is how they do the handshake or whatever they do with their hair or their glasses. So is there one thing that you do that just is like, you're so ADD about that? Like every day I got to do this. Every morning I got to wake up. I got to put my, you know, I got to wake out of bed this way. Is there one thing you think is absurd that may just be a ritual that you enjoy?
Yeah, I would say nothing absurd, but I do feel like I need to have, on game days, I need to nap. Like I need to have some kind of nap on game days. And I actually just was watching this video, this YouTube video where NBA players were talking about their naps. And it was like Anthony Edwards was talking about how he has to take at least a 3 hour nap on game days or something, or he feels like he's not. And I was like, oh my God, 3 hours sounds crazy. I take long ones. I take probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, but so nothing that crazy. I would just say like, I really like getting a nap in. I feel like it really helps. And I'll even sometimes wake myself up a little bit earlier on game day so that I know when my nap time comes, I'll be like a little bit more tired and ready to take that nap. But I'm not really superstitious or anything like that. I just kind of go with the flow and yeah, just play my game. So
that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, so we talk about success, that you have all the successes you've had in your short period of life. You know, has there been a failure or what, you know, we would call a failure, or an apparent failure that set you up for later success? And do you have a favorite failure of yours?
Yeah, I have a couple. So one of them was like a specific game. My sophomore year of college, we played in the Patriot League championship game. It's a crazy story because it was actually the day that the NBA shut down because of COVID was the same day. We were basically the last college basketball game that was played before COVID hit. And it was the Patriot League championship game. So if COVID had never happened, that game would have been the game to play in the NCAA tournament, to play in March Madness. So the biggest game of the year for us. And I was a sophomore and I was coming off, I was rookie of the year, my freshman year. I was having a really good year. We had a really good team and, I ended up going 0-for-6 from three in that game. And I had 2 points in the game, was pretty bad just overall, just had a really bad game. We ended up losing by like 3 points. I had two shots in the last minute to tie it up, missed them both. And so we lost and it was absolutely devastating. But luckily, I mean, obviously this is kind of terrible to say, but because everything started coming crashing down in the world with COVID, I felt like that performance in that game was kind of overlooked. And so I didn't really have to, I of course was thinking about it, but it felt like other people had kind of forgotten about it fairly quickly. But I think that game really pushed me, to figure out some things mentally and figure out how I could gain that confidence and get to the next level. And then I had another kind of longer failure that lasted longer. And I think I made a video on my YouTube channel called Every Basketball Player Needs to Have a Shooting Slump. And so a shooting slump is basically when you go a few weeks, a month, it could last however long, and you just, your shot doesn't feel good. You maybe lost confidence. You're not shooting well over a long stretch of time. And in my fifth year, my last year of college, this was just last year. And I've talked about how much better my mentality's got, but at the same time, you know, we're all human. I'm a basketball player. In the second half of my fifth year, I just had a long stretch where I just shot really badly from three. And at first I stayed confident. I was like, all right, I'm just missing. It's fine. It'll get back. But over time, like I just wasn't making shots and my confidence definitely, you know, started to dwindle a little bit. And we ended up still having a really good year. I was still player of the year in the conference, and we went to the tournament and everything. But that stretch really taught me so much. And that's why I made that video, like, every player should go through this. It really taught me a lot about pushing through something like that. And I made that video like before my season over here started. And I said something at the end, like, you know, hopefully I'll make my first few shots in Finland and it'll be off from there. And I really felt like I've been able to do that. Like I've had a few game stretch here and there this season where I didn't shoot well, but I always just stayed confident and felt like it would come, my shot would come back. And I think a lot of that is because I learned so much through that other stretch, last year. So yeah,
good
nothing,
advice.
nothing too terrible. Like, no, I've been really lucky with injuries and things like that. But yeah, I think that every athlete goes through something, you know, every athlete goes through some kind of difficulties and challenges for sure.
Yeah. Good advice. So when would you tell parents, you know, we only have a couple of questions left for you. When would you tell parents and the high school athletes and even some of the younger kids to get into the proper game, if you will, the mental conditioning, and how to help their children who may be facing some adversities? Any advice that you might have for them?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, my parents, my mom especially, really tried to get me to take more seriously the mental game of basketball from a young age. I would say in high school, she was trying to get me to figure that stuff out. So, and I've made some videos about it. And I think just having a conversation with the kid that, again, like, making or missing shots is not the most important thing. If you have a bad game, that's not the end of the world. I told this story, like, there was probably some game my junior or senior year of high school where I shot terribly. And I know for a fact that not one person who I played with, not one person who was in the audience of that game, my coaches, no one remembers that game but me. No one remembers those missed shots. No one cares about those missed shots but me. And so when you start to realize that, or when you start to get this mindset that you, like, stop worrying about what other people think, and not only that, but then you start to realize that no one actually cares about you, like, no one's thinking about you all the time. I think it's easier. It makes it easier to go through failure or to get through difficult situations. It's like, because in difficult situations, you start to get so worried about what other people think, when in reality, people aren't really thinking about you, and it doesn't matter what people think. So I would just say, like, the earlier you can start to get your child to realize that, it's really hard because kids, of course, you know, even with social media and all those things, they are so worried
right.
about what everybody's doing all the time. And, you know, kids are constantly comparing themselves to other players that are getting offers or whatever it might be. The more you can get them to realize, or to try and stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking and just worry about the process, like I keep talking about,
right,
I think that can really help along these players' journeys.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny. Growing up, I came from a family of seven, and my brother, Bob, my older brother, Bob, was really a great guy that I used to look up to. And so much so point that when I would get introduced to somebody, I'd say, "Hey, I'm Bob Nolan's younger brother, Mark." And then
yeah.
One day I was like, "What the hell am I saying that for?" You know, I'm a pretty good athlete in my own regards. I mean, I was like 12 or 13 when I finally snapped out of it. But, you know, until I started getting into my own mental game, right, and relying on who my brother was as like a, hey, okay, well, that's Bob's brother, so he must be awesome as well. So
right.
I think all those things, when you add the parent exposure to it and social media, that comparing always seems to be another add-on. I mean, I had one guy, Tucker, that he had a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet. He'd have every kicker and punter on there every year, every PWO who's got a scholarship offer, who doesn't have a scholarship. I'm like, dude, you're spending more time doing this than your regular job. You know, this.
Yeah.
Enjoy your son. He's a top five kicker in the country. He's going to play somewhere. Just
yeah.
Let it go. So I guess the last one or two questions I have to you, what are you most excited about coming up? And what can people expect from you and your company next? And if you have, you know, any big things coming up that you are really excited about you're doing?
Yeah, so as you know, we've talked with you, but me and my mom actually are trying to partner up kind of and start building a community for younger athletes and their parents, basically. You know, me and my mom, I've had so many conversations over the years about how I was lucky to get to that Division I offer. And at the same time, we feel like if we had had more information, maybe there was even a better chance, or I would have had more opportunities. And so kind of collectively, we're trying to give back because, you know, from a parent's perspective, there's so much to learn. And then obviously from a kid's perspective. And so, yeah, we're trying to put together some kind of community for people to interact, for young players to interact with older players like myself who have gone through the same things. And then obviously for parents to interact with each other and ask questions and all those kind of things. So we're still building that. Obviously, I would say you can check out my YouTube channel, Tucker Richardson, just the name, because on there I'll be giving out like more updates as we keep building it and keep working through those things. But yeah, that's kind of the goal. That's what we're working towards right now. We really feel like there is a need just from talking to so many younger players and their families. We really feel like there's a need and people kind of want something like this. So
absolutely. So where, you know, you mentioned it earlier, but you know, where can people go learn about not just your YouTube channel, but the community that you and your mom are building out? I mean, it may not be fully built out yet, but you know, where can people learn more about you and your company?
Yeah, so it's called Hacking Hoops, and like I said, it's kind of still in a beta stage right now. It's been difficult as a professional athlete being in Finland, time difference, all these things to do this, but I feel like, you know, my parents are both very entrepreneurial, so I've been someone that wants to be doing more than just playing basketball, which, you know, I love playing basketball and it's my job, but I want to be doing more with my free time. So hopefully as I get home this summer, have more time to settle in. We've been doing a lot behind the scenes. Hopefully as I get home this summer, we can really launch something. So that's why, to like stay tuned with it, I'll be giving more updates on the YouTube channel, just because that's where I've kind of already built an audience and built kind of a community in its own right.
Okay.
But yeah, we're gonna be promoting that and getting that out there, hopefully in the next few months.
Okay, awesome. So what is the one final thought that you want to leave us with today and our listeners? What would that be?
Such a hard question. I feel like there's so much. I would say if you have something that you're really passionate about, just kind of go for it. Like, obviously basketball is my passion, but not just playing basketball, kind of everything regarding the sport I'm passionate about. And I think I'll give myself a little bit of props. I think I've done a good job of trying to like leverage basically my experiences and my passion for the sport into doing other things and creating other things and finding new opportunities and building new connections and all those things. So like, if you just have something that you really love to do, even if you're a young kid, I was talking to this younger athlete, he's a junior in high school right now. And he's Princeton actually has a lot of interest in him. So he's a really smart kid, obviously, but he started like this. He goes to a private school and he started like this. He takes all like the recycled materials from the school and is turning them into some sort of product. And he has his own company. And I was just like, you know, it doesn't really matter how old you are. Like, you can be doing more. You can always be doing more interesting things. So I'll just push younger players, younger kids in general, to, you know, get themselves out of their comfort zones, really follow what they're passionate about. Don't be afraid to take chances, all those things that everybody always says, but actually do it. Like, actually try and do something really interesting and meaningful in the world, because you won't regret it, and there is no such thing as failure. So,
right,
as Kobe said,
right,
you can't fail. So
that's right. Awesome. So, you know, Tucker, awesome interview. Thank you very much for joining us here on our podcast. And you know, as we wrap up another enlightening episode of the Donut Kicker Coverage Podcast, we want to really express our sincere gratitude for you, Tucker, and for all you tuning in. And remember, as they say, sharing is caring. So please share this podcast with a couple of friends, and don't forget to shower us with those 5-star reviews, you know, and likes and comments. Your engagement really fuels our passion for delivering quality and timely content. So with that, this is Coach Nolan signing off. Until next time, keep striving for excellence. Thanks, Tucker.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right, Sarah.